Father, thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to come to your house this morning to worship you. Father, I pray for free reign in this place this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to every heart. That you'd have your way here. God, open up our hearts, open up our minds to receive what you have for us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I heard this story 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I put it in my notes on my phone because I thought it was a pretty good story, and I didn't put it down word for word, so I don't know if it's exactly right how I'm going to tell it, but there's a little boy, and his mother told him to go mow the lawn. And after he was done mowing the lawn, he put a bill on the counter, $15, for his mom to pay him. So the mom took and paid him the $15, but then where his note was, where his bill was for the $15, she put a note there that said, laundry $10, dinner $10, soccer practice, taking you to soccer practice $15, and just a whole list of what the mom had done for the little boy with the amounts next to each one. But then at the bottom it said, no charge. I do this because I love you. The little boy got the note, read the note, and he realized the lesson that his mom was trying to teach him, that when you love somebody, you do for them. And he gave his mom back the money for mowing the lawn and told her that he loved her. No charge. Kind of made me think that that's the way that we should be with the Lord. You know, not that we're doing stuff to get paid. Not that we're doing stuff to earn. But it's because we love the Lord. That's why we serve Him. That's why we do. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, how many of us even think about all God has done for us? All that He's done. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. Because He first loved us. That's how we can love, because of what He's done for us. Do we ever think about all that God has done for us? We used to sing a song, it's probably been a few years, if not a little longer, since we've sang this song. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, and I can't even remember all the words, but it makes me want to shout. It makes me want to shout when I think about all that the Lord has done for us. And I'm not sure who it was, Miley or Rayson, when the Mitzi started to sing the one song, and it sounded like they were shouting excited about the song. And it's like, that's how we should be. Do we get excited about what God has done for us? Do we get excited about all that He's given to us? Do we count our blessings? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Church, that's good news. That's good news for me and you, that the Lord Jesus, the Lord God gave Jesus His one and only Son so that me and you can live, so that we can have eternal life. What a price paid. Do we ever stop and think all that God has done for us? You know, it's easy to look at what we don't have. That's what society does. I mean, commercials and friends and you need to have this and you need to have that. And if you don't have this, your life's not complete. And it's easy to get caught up in all that we don't have. But do we ever stop and just count our blessings and thank God for all that He has done for us? Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says, for by the grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. See, it doesn't matter how many sermons I preach, how many Sunday school classes I teach. It's because what Jesus did on that cross
that I have salvation. I'm really going somewhere with this. But first, do we realize all that God has done? Psalms 126:3 says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." See, when we look at what we don't have, it robs our joy. But when we think about all that the Lord has done, it should fill us with joy. Make me want to shout. Make me get excited. When you count your blessings, when you realize what Jesus has done, that He's paid the price for you and me to have eternal life, for us to have salvation. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Oh, how easy it is to get dismayed, to be walking in fear. But when we stop and we think, God says, "I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand." When I was reading this, it made me think one time, we God's children, right? Are we not God's children? And I thought of how my kids, I used to swing them and lift them up. But I remember one time, me and Hayden was little. I mean, he was, maybe 3 or 4, about racing size. He was a little guy, and we went over to my brother's house, and he has these squirrel dogs, and one of them had puppies, and so we'd went over to see the puppies, and we were standing there, and we was all talking and everything. The dog was fine, and all at once, the dog growled and went straight at Hayden's face and tried to bite him in the face. And I grabbed Hayden and I just lifted him up just like this and scooped him out of the way of danger, and the dog didn't bite him. What does the Bible just say? That God's going to uphold us with His righteous right hand. And when I think about that, I think about how God, when the danger's coming, He'll just scoop us right up into His arms and protect us. Do we ever think about what a wonderful God we have? How great God is? You know, me being an earthly father, I love my son enough to scoop him up and protect him. As soon as I had him in my arms, that dog was not going to get Hayden. There was no way. I was not going to let it. And that's the Father that we have in heaven, but we walk around in fear, we walk around in dismay, instead of relying upon the strength of the Lord and understanding the God that He is. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." You know, we all have heard those verses. We all know that verse. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I believe it's repeated again in Hebrews. I'll never leave you and never forsake you. But do we live that? Are we thankful for that? That God says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Counting our blessings. And so if you guys want to open up your Bibles to John 14, and this is going to kind of bring it all together, okay? The serving because we love, and all that God has done for us. These verses right here kind of bring it all together, hand in hand, okay? John 14:15 is where we're going to begin at. "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Is that real complicated there? Is that some deep theological thing? Or is that pretty easy to understand? Okay? If you love me, you will obey what I command. That's not complicated, is it? If we love God, then we're going to obey what He commands. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you, and He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. See, there it is again. Okay, look all God's given us. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you out there all alone. Something that we can be thankful for. But in our thanksgiving, in the way that we love, do we obey what He says? Is this making sense to anybody? Okay. The little boy realized, I should mow for Mom and not charge her because I love her. Because look at all she's done for me. All the gifts that she's given, the dinners that she's cooked, the soccer practices, the laundry, all those things that she's done because she loves me. All the things God's done for us. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But in that, do we obey Him because we love Him? Verse 19, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Church, this isn't complicated. This isn't some deep thing. The reality is, He says, if you love me, you're going to obey me. If you love me, you're going to obey me. You're going to do what I say. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. We've read what? 6-7 verses here, and there's obey 3 different times in those 6 or 7 verses. We obey because we love Him. We obey because all that He has done for us. You know, as you grow up and you mature, what do you begin to realize? You begin to realize, man, all the hard work there is in being a parent and all that your parents have done for you. And you begin to appreciate things more. When you begin to live on your own and you pay that first electric bill and you pay that first house payment or that first rent check and the first time the insurance comes due, and all at once you realize, wow, I had it pretty good at one time. Now I've got all these responsibilities, and you begin to appreciate. And the older you get, the more you appreciate all your parents have done. And you more begin to think about wisdom that people have spoken into your life and that, hey, maybe they knew something and maybe I should have listened to them. Maybe I should have heard what they had to say about this situation or about that situation, you know. But as you're young and immature, sometimes you just got to experience it for yourself. But can I tell you something today that God has done so much for us? And because He's done so much for us, because He loves us so much, He's saying, for you to show love back to me, it's walking in obedience. It's walking in obedience. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. See, we can't say that we love God and then never obey what he says. You know, if my boss told me to do something and I didn't do it, I'd probably get in trouble. And then if the next day my boss told me to do something and I didn't do it, I'd probably get wrote up. And if the next day my boss told me to do something and I didn't do it, I'd probably be called into the office. And if I continued to be disobedient to direct orders, I would lose my job. I'd be fired. I go to Paris every day. And if one day I said, instead of going to Paris, I want to go down to Mansfield. And then I might go over to Poto and check things out over there. Yeah, those deliveries will take. My boss would say, are you crazy? You're going the wrong direction. What's wrong with you? So why is it any different with the Lord? He says, if you don't obey my teachings, you don't love me. See, we can sit in here and act like we're church folks. We can act religious. We can sit in our pews all dressed up nice and be so far away from God because we're not walking in obedience. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Please, I leave you, or peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. There it is again. God saying, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Peace I'm leaving with you. All that God continues to give and give and give to me and you, His peace, His love. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. There's so much in here, but what I see is love equals obedience. God gives us the Holy Spirit. Be thankful for that. But how do we show God love? Is it in obedience? Is it in service? Can I look at your life? Can you look at my life? Can you examine your own life and say, God, this is how I'm showing you that I love you. This is how I show. You know, I can say I love you guys all the time, but if I never, there's never anything behind it, then what good? I mean, what good is it if there's never any action behind it? I'm going to tell y'all the truth. Can I tell y'all the truth? I don't always like preaching. I really don't. And sometimes I think, God, I need someone else. Because I'm not getting through, I don't think. I'm boring them. They're falling asleep. Man, they just... But you guys know how much I love you? That's why I get up here every week. And you know what? If God said, Pete, it's time to sit down and let someone else, because it's going to grow the church and it's going to help the church, I just want to be obedient. Why? Because I love you. And I want the best for you guys. I want you growing. I want this church to grow. And I don't just mean in numbers. I mean in daily walks. I mean where we overcome our anger, where we overcome our lust, where we overcome our greed, where our lives are changed, where we're bearing good fruit, where we're walking in obedience. I don't get up here because I like to hear myself talk every week. I get up here and I pray, and I kept praying this week, God, what do they need? What do I need? God, show me. Show me. Then we might grow together. Help us to walk in obedience together. How do you show service for the Lord? How do you show love to the Lord? 1 Samuel 12:24 says, only fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. There it is again. Serve Him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things He's done for you. Do you appreciate all that God has done? Does that appreciation overflow with acts of obedience? You know, when I was a teenager, when I was a little boy, and my mom or dad or somebody would tell me to do something, I didn't want to do it. I still remember this time because my grandparents used to come and spend, you know, a few months with us in the summer and everything. And my grandma one time told me and my brother to go do the dishes. And we said no. And we just sat there in the living room.
And she got after us and called us some things and said, you both are lazy and everything else. I said, get in there and do those dishes. I don't think we ever did. But you know, it wasn't a few years later, and I was doing everything I could for my grandmother. Why? Because I grew up. And I learned what love is, and love is taking care of those people. Love is serving. Love is doing. I can tell my grandma how much I love her, but if I never did anything, how would she know? Does that make sense? God says, serve Him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. That's what I was reading, all that first stuff. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. By grace you have been saved, not by works, so that no man can boast. Everything God has done for you, do we count our blessings? Do we understand? And does that translate into obedience? Does that translate into, God, I want to serve You faithfully and with all my heart. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, there's... I want to be careful how I say this, because I don't want to rob anybody's blessing. But do you know, when you take ownership of something, you want to make sure it gets done. But until you take ownership of it, you're not really caring if it gets done or not. Okay, I'm just going to tell y'all. I was thinking this week, you know, Mark, my father-in-law, mows this lawn pretty much every week that he can. I don't have to worry about the yard getting mowed. Why? Because Mark has taken ownership of it. When he had his surgery a few weeks ago, I helped out. But I don't have to worry about it, because I know it's going to get done, because He's taken ownership of it. But there's other things at the church that it feels like I have to ask somebody, I have to ask people, and I have to hope that it'll get done. Why? Because they haven't taken ownership of it. And it's like you've got to be an overseer and you've got to stay after people. Can you help me here? Can you do this here? Can you do that? But until you take ownership, it's just another task. It's just another job. But when you begin to serve and you say, this is what God's called me to do, in whatever area, I'm not talking about mowing anymore, but you serve God wholeheartedly and you say, God, what would Thou have me do? You don't need Pete calling and saying, do this. We don't need to have an elders meeting and say, we need to get this done. People just begin to do it. They take ownership of it. It just made me think of Casey when we had our work day up here in the closet back there, Casey Clopton. Casey all at once took ownership of that closet and she began to organize and she taped things and wrote it down. This is where this goes and this is where this goes. Why? Because she wanted it looking right. This was her job. This was her task. I didn't have to come in there and say, Casey, do this, this, and this. She just did it because she took ownership of that task for that moment. Church, God has something for each one of us to do. And until we begin to serve Him faithfully, wholeheartedly, and take ownership of our ministry, whatever that is, God has a ministry for you. It may not be up here preaching. You know what? Kyle and Tim don't have to call me every week and say, Pete, get your sermon ready. remind me Saturday night at 11 o'clock. Pete, did you get your sermon ready? You know, as my kids grow up, my kids were pretty spoiled. They might not believe it. But when Madeline started to college and started to work, me and Crystal quit waking her up. It's like, okay, if you oversleep, you suffer the consequences. You have an alarm, you're an adult now. You take care of yourself. And you know what? Hayden's looking for a job. If anybody knows a job, Hayden's looking for a job right now. Hayden's looking for a job and he's going to start to college this fall. And you know what? Hayden's become a man. So he's going to have to begin to take ownership. I'm getting up and I'm going to do these things, and mom and dad's not going to have to push me. They're not going to have to prod me to do this. And if not, then I have to suffer the consequences. How many of us have taken ownership of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, I want to faithfully serve you. I don't need to be proked. I don't need to be prodded. That God, I want to serve you faithfully because I love you, because all that you've done for me. Is this making sense to anybody this morning, or did I lose everybody? Okay. The little boy understood that his mom had done all those things because she loved him. And then all at once his eyes were open. I'll mow the lawn for you, Mom, just because I love you. We're not earning our salvation here. It's been paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. But how many times did we just read, if you love me, you obey me. If you love me, you obey me. Faithfully serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. And then the rest of this verse. Because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Can I tell you something? Sometimes it seems like the work you're doing might be in vain. Nobody notices. Nobody sees. You might not even see fruit from it. Sometimes week after week, week after week, you're doing your ministry, you're doing what you think you're supposed to be doing, you're following the Lord, and you're not seeing any fruit. God knows. God knows. And your labor is not in vain. God sees what you do in secret. God knows what you're doing. God knows your heart. And if you're faithfully trying to seek Him, if you're faithfully trying to serve Him, He knows. We give ourselves fully because He's loved us so much and done so much for us. 1 John 4:7 says, Dear friends, let us love one another, for the love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. There it is again, all that He's done for us. Verse 11, Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. When I think about that, and I think about how do we show love for one another? Do you show love for one another? Do you have concern for one another? Do you even care about one another? And if you do, how are you showing it? See, it's so easy to be selfish, isn't it? And do you have to try to be selfish? No, it just happens. I'm tired of I've worked hard this week. I don't want to go take care of so-and-so. I don't want to cook somebody something that I know is hurting. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go help that person. I don't want to call that person. They talk my ear off. I can't get away from them. I want to be selfish. But how are you showing love? God, I'm not trying to make a law here. I'm just trying to get you to open up your eyes. It's not just lip service, it's life service. It's how we're living our lives. Is God's love in us? Verse 13, we know we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. There it is again, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in Him and He is in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. In this world, we are like him. How many of us are like Jesus? How many of us are full of love? Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Church, living a life of love. I said it a few weeks ago, I heard this statement, and I thought it was so true, and it was talking about love or compassion without truth isn't love or compassion at all. When I talk about love, don't misunderstand the world's love. Okay, because the world love says, freedom, do whatever you want. But God's love says truth. That's a whole nother sermon, okay? We might even do that tonight, I don't know. But God's love, there's truth. It's not a love that's a freedom to go sin and live your life how I want with no judgment. No, God's love speaks truth. Jesus spoke truth. But Jesus was also a servant. Last verse here, Mark 10:42. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Are you ready to faithfully serve God with all your heart? To give your life in obedience? To not just say I'm a Christian. To not just sit in a pew week after week with no change, no evidence. But to serve faithfully, wholeheartedly, not earning our salvation, but evidence of the obedience because God loved us first. Evidence. Because we love Him, walking in obedience, serving Him faithfully, each and every day. He says, if you don't love me, you're not going to obey me. But if you love me, you're going to walk in obedience. You're going to listen. He sent and given you the Holy Spirit to guide you in all truth, to guide us each and every day. Jesus says, I didn't even come to be served, but to serve and to give His life. How many of us are truly giving our lives? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray for forgiveness for me, for this congregation, for all the times that we've been lazy, that we've walked in rebellion, that we have not walked in obedience. Lord Jesus, please forgive us. Father, I pray that at this time we will begin to count our blessings and all that You have done for us. Lord, You've done so much more than we deserve. Father, I pray that each and every one of us will begin to walk in obedience. We'll begin to walk with a servant's heart, Lord, ready to serve You. To listen to Your Holy Spirit in guidance. Lord, that we might be fruitful in the lives that we live. Lord, that we might take ownership of the ministry that You've laid upon each one of our hearts, and that we would do it to the best of our ability, Lord, empowered by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we not leave this service changed, but may Your Holy Spirit prick our hearts right now. In areas that we've fallen short, in areas that we have not lived out our faith. Father, help each one of us now. Lord, that we wouldn't walk in fear, but that we would walk, Lord, knowing that we are led by the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we are walking in obedience, knowing that we are walking full of Your love. Father, I just pray that each one of us might be energized. We might be encouraged. We might be thankful for all that You've done for us. And that we might express that in our lives, before we even leave this building, that we might begin to express that in obedience, because how much we love You. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If y'all would, please stand. And if you need prayer for anything, you need to maybe just spend a few moments alone with God, recharging, the altars are open. I don't know, I don't ever count how many of us come to church here. We're a pretty small church. Verse 21 of 1 John chapter 4 says, "And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother." You know, we need to look around at each other. See who's in front of you, who's behind you, who's next to you. Because, you know, when I said I don't always like preaching, but I come because I love you, and I mean that with all my heart. I love you guys. I love each and every one of you. And if anybody ever calls me, I'm going to do everything I can to do what I can for them. But in reality, I can't be there for each and every one of you at every moment that you need somebody. And we have the Holy Spirit and we have the Father, but we also should have each other. And that's where whoever loves God must also love his brother. Look around. These are your brothers. These are your sisters. This is who God wants you to love. You know, we can have one pastor, a couple elders work themselves to death trying to show love to everybody, but really it's all of our responsibility if you're a child of God. That's what he said, to love. So I would ask you to think about the people that's by you. Think about the people that's on the other side of the sanctuary from you. And if God gives you something, if God tells you to do something, don't hesitate. You may not know the person that well. They may not know you that well, but let's begin to show love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In whatever way that is. And having a servant's heart towards our Father in heaven. And let's not sit back and wait for someone else to do it. Let's take ownership. God, what would thou have me do? What would you have me do? Not what would you have Kyle do, and what would you have Tim do, what would you have Pete do? Pete, you need to do this. Tim, you need to do that. God, what would thou have me do? How can I show love to Mike? How can I show love to Susie? How can I show love to Richard? Love your brothers. Love your sisters in Christ. Think about it. And please, please never hesitate to call me. Never hesitate to call me. Because even if I can't make it, I'll find somebody that can. Because I love you. And I want the best for you. And I want the best for this church. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. Bible study tonight at 6:30.